Thank you, Bob. Good evening, everyone. I haven't had a chance to check the mic yet. I hope I'm on there. Bill gave me a call a few days ago and asked me if I could stand in for him here this evening. I'm not used to doing that. It's kind of neat. That's quite all right anytime. It just kind of keeps me on my toes. And it's going to be interesting to see how today works out. I'm not going to go into James. We're going to talk a little bit about heaven. And this is, it's kind of interesting because Rick was talking some about it this morning. I don't know if we're going to steal each other's thunder or not. And the title, I'm still putting things together here. It's an N there. We're going to call it Heaven 101. And we're going to do an A after this. Because as I got into it a little bit, I came to realize there's no way in the world I can cover this in one sermon. And I feel kind of bad sometimes because I don't know, I wouldn't call myself quite a hellfire and brimstone preacher, but I tend to head that direction a lot of times because there's so much that goes on in the church today that's really nonsense. And in, I should say in Christianity, quote unquote, there is a lot of nonsense. And sometimes we as dedicated true Christians can get caught up in it just because that's the way it is. That's what the world does. It tries to squeeze us into its mold. And the church tries to squeeze us into its mold, which is already squeezed into a mold of the world for the most part. And I will be mentioning that a little bit, but I dwell on that a lot, and I think it's needed. But there are some things that we have to look forward to that I think we lose track of at times. We talk about being obedient. That's good. That's really good. We talk about being dedicated. That's good. We talk about grace. That's good. That's good. You know, you can't get much better than that. But we tend to lose track of what our goal is, where we're going, what Christ died for to bring us into heaven. And that, like I said, we lose track of that. And I want to dwell on that for a little bit. And as I take a little bit of a break from James once in a while, I probably come back to this. I already got some of the Christian buzzwords that I'm dealing with. I don't want to say buzzwords. I want to say the good words. The good words. We can call them buzzwords. The doctrinal terms that you don't hear of today. And they're very important. They're very descriptive. You can, in saying one word, propitiation, you can in that one word sum up an awful lot. But you have to know what it means. And today, by and large, we don't. I know I have to go through and bone up on some of these things. I think I mentioned it once before, but as far as some of this is concerned, I know I pretty much came up with my own definition of the gospel. But what I like to do is understand what it's about and then summarize it in my own words to what that means. And keeping in mind that there are definitions in history. Some of them are strictly biblical definitions, and I have to work within them. But sometimes it's just to be able to take it and define it in your own words. That's when you begin to understand a little bit of what it's about, and there's some times I want to go through some of them. But right now, It's kind of interesting not being a professional preacher by any stretch of the imagination. A lot of times I'll sit down and think, well, if I was ever called on to preach, I could preach on this or this or this with a minimal amount of study, and things that I've been studying on for years, and then as soon as you're called upon, all that goes away. It just vanishes. Poof, you know, where is it? There must have been a dozen things that I was saying. I couldn't think of one of them. And so here we are. We're going to give Heaven 101 a try and see how far we can get. It may go either long or it may go awful short. I'm not sure yet. Let's get started with hymn number 433. Kind of an interesting concept that he would give up everything that he has for the likes of me. Leave his throne in glory. I mean, he picks him up again. But to leave his throne in glory to come and save a wretch like me. And as we begin to understand a little bit of what heaven is like, and it makes it all that much more difficult for me to understand why he would do it. Why he would do it. To live in a palatial palace and then to crawl into a cesspool of the earth is far beyond my imagination. And the love that he has for us also is far beyond my imagination. And it's one of the commentators that I read quite a bit. He says, if you try to follow some things out too far, you'll wind up under the bed speaking in Greek or reciting the Greek alphabet. And that's the way it is. Some of it will drive you right around the bend, just trying to grasp your mind around the mind of an infinite God. Our minds are finite. Don't tell my wife I said that mine is, but it is. It is very finite. And we just stand in awe. And I think that's one thing that we lose track of today, is the ability to stand in awe of anything. We have so many wondrous things to grab our attention. The technology that's available today is very attention-getting. I've fallen into that trap all the time because I'm a technology geek. and I love it. I'm fascinated by it. I still am fascinated by it. I'll be 62 years old in about a month, and it still fascinates the daylights out of me. How you can put the equivalent of millions and millions of transistors on a little device that's this big. I can't fathom it. It delights me. But I guess I still come back. My wife and I talk about this all the time. I go babbling on, as I do, and she sits there and rolls her eyes. Yeah, here we go again. He's fascinated. So I'd just be fascinated if you'd shut up. But I do draw it back to the wonders of God, because He is the one who put all this stuff out there for us. I'm sorry, He has given us no reason at all to think that all of this just happened. It's impossible. I hate to say anything is impossible, but it is. It's impossible. It couldn't happen. We tend to think that all of this stuff that we get out of the ground is just there, and aren't we smart that we can make a little processor like that that'll do all kinds of things. That didn't just happen. It didn't just happen that this planet has all of the materials for us to do that. It didn't just happen that this planet has the resources to power our technology, to provide us heat and light, and that Thomas Edison just out of the blue discovered, well, tungsten is the metal that we need. I kind of tend to think sometimes, you know, God might have been sitting up there scratching a hole in top of his head, figuring, when are these idiots going to find this? I know that's not the case. But sometimes, you almost think that. He put it there thousands and thousands of years ago just for us to discover, so to speak. What a wonderful God. What a marvelous God. Hymn number 218.
Bring forth the Lord.
We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. What a statement. And in my studies about heaven here, we're going to go into this a little bit. There's three heavens, first, second, and third heaven. The third heaven is the dwelling place of God. And we will join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. And we go just a little bit before that, in the beginning of verse 6 here. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. That yonder sacred throng is in the third heaven, which is where we will be. And we're going to crown him Lord of all. Not that he needs us to crown him for him to be Lord. He is Lord. And he's Lord now. He's Lord now. I have some, I guess you could say, mild dispensational leanings, but I have some rather glaring problems with anybody who says that he is not Lord now, that I have to make him Lord of my life. He's Lord of my life. Whether I like it or not, I can bow to that lordship, which is what he calls us to do. I can choose to ignore that lordship, which is only by his will. There came that time in my life, and I'm sure yours too, when the choice had already been made, and Jimbo bowed at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that, because I never would have done it on my own. It would have been impossible. Another one of those things that's impossible. There are several things that are impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to deny himself. I really don't think he can make square circles. I was I put her on the ludicrous, I think. But he can't deny himself, he can't lie, and I can't put on righteousness on my own. I have to be clothed from above. Let's go to 87 and sing this one like we mean it.
Oh,
Could we stand and sing the fourth verse again, and then I'll open with a word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this evening again, asking for more grace from that endless fountain. Lord, we know we can never use it up, but yet many times we're afraid to ask you for it. I need that grace to bring forth your word. It's so above and beyond my capabilities that I stand needing an infusion of grace from above. Father, your word is so beyond our ability to comprehend it that those who are listening also need that infusion of grace from above, from your throne of grace. Lord, I just ask again that you bless these trembling lips. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I got in trouble one time here recently because I didn't end with a hymn. So we're going to end with 492 later. So, okay. Heaven. As I mentioned before, we don't talk about it that much. And there's many reasons. We get caught up in the world. And if you talk about heaven at work, obviously you're going to be lampooned about it. Or they're going to agree with you, but they're agreeing to a different heaven than what we're speaking of. And heaven is, in most people's mind today, an ethereal concept. Heaven is in our own hearts. It's in our own minds. And to get there, you just have to enter your own little nirvana and prayers are not to a deity. I know there's been a number of times I've had I've gone through some things, ready for an operation or something like that, or when they find out that I have MS, they say, "Oh, my thoughts will be with you." Well, that's nice. I appreciate that, but that's not going to do me any good. Now, if they say your prayers are going to be with me, I'm thankful for that. If it's the prayer of a believer, if it's not, that's not going to do me any good either. But heaven is a place. Rick covered that a little bit this morning, and I'm going to lean very heavily on that concept. But some of the problems that we have with heaven today is that people are into instant gratification. Heaven is pie in the sky to them. Heaven is where we're going to be at some point in time. But the thought is, it doesn't do me any good right now. What I want is right now. I want to live for right now. That's almost a mantra in today's society. How fast can we get it? How fast can we spend the money that we won't have for 10 years? and make sure that we won't have it the rest of our lives because we've already spent it. We, you know, my wife and I have talked about this several times. Our generation is one that was into instant gratification. I remember talking to my parents, and it took them a number of years before they had any half-decent furniture and a reasonable place to live and all of that kind of thing. But now you want to get that right out of school. You want to go out and get a $250,000 home. You want to furnish it. You want everything. You want the big widescreen television and everything that you can have. You want now. We want it now. Heaven is not instant gratification. Heaven is something we have to wait for. Although we get a taste of it here and there. I should stand behind the pulpit here sometimes and sing holy, holy, holy. You get a little taste of what heaven is like. There are also, this with the prosperity gospel. Doesn't talk that much about heaven. Talks about healing now. It talks about instant gratification. It talks about you naming it and claiming it for now. Okay, you want that car? Name it and claim it. You want to be healed? Name it and claim it. There's nothing about you want heaven? Give up your life. Bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Be content with what He gives you and praise Him for it. You don't hear that today much in the church. There are some churches who preach it loud and clear, but they're in the minority. So, we don't think of much about heaven because it doesn't fit with the prosperity gospel. Now, anybody in their right mind who is over the age of 50 starts to realize that there's a day coming when you will die. When, if you're a Christian, you realize that your soul will leave your body and go on to be with the Lord. But that's an area, even as Christians, we don't really understand. Because all we know is this life. That's one reason you should be in the Scriptures a lot. We'll kind of whet your appetite for heaven. The trials and tribulations. We've been going through James and talked about a lot about trials and tribulations. They also tend to whet our appetite for heaven. There's going to be that time when we open up our eyes, so to speak, in heaven. We will not have arthritis. We will not have MS. We will not have cancer. We will not have any of the ailments that we have now. We will not get tired. Being in the presence of Jesus Christ and fully comprehending Him as fully as well, we'll still be creatures. And there's going to be limits to that. But to more fully comprehend them, we're not going to think of sleep. I don't think even I will, and I think of sleep a lot. It's often on my mind. One of the other reasons we don't think much about heaven today is we're so tied up, and I thank God, and I don't say that without meaning it, that I'm in a church that is not heavily into the contemporary music scene. Because you don't hear much about heaven in that. I can't say you never hear it, but you don't hear much about it. Tune into WGRC or some of the other. Take note. Never mind, don't. You probably don't want to take note. But if you do, take note at how many times you hear about heaven. We're going to take note of how many times you hear about hell. That'll be even less. And take note about how many times you hear about our responsibilities for obedience and that kind of thing. You're not going to hear much about that either. But you don't hear much about heaven. Because heaven, again, is not instant gratification. Today's contemporary music is if you could unwrap the world from it in a way like you would you would unwrap a candle from a candle mold, it would still be in the shape of the world, because the world has so much squeezed much of today's contemporary music into its own mold, into its own shape. I'm not saying there's none that's any good. I happen to like a lot of it myself, but that's another sermon that somebody needs to preach to me, I think. Let's talk a little bit about what is precious to us. What is precious to us is in heaven. If we look at Matthew 6, 9, God is in heaven. That should be precious to us. Hebrews 9, 24 tells us that Jesus Christ is in heaven. Luke 10, 20 tells us our names are recorded in heaven. Those three things right there should fire us up to the point where we can't contain ourselves. This is, if you stop and think about this, this is marvelous. Especially, like I said, when you think we don't deserve it. I probably mention that every time I get up here, probably a dozen times. But it's the truth, we don't deserve it. But it's there. What love has God shown to us? God is in heaven. Christ is in heaven. The faithful that have passed on are in heaven. There's going to be fellowship in heaven like we know nothing about. The conversation in heaven isn't going to be about Penn State's football team. To be honest with you, I kind of doubt that from all eternity, from the time we leave this body to the for all eternity, it's probably not going to be mentioned. We're not going to hear that in heaven. We will be enthralled with the beauty and the loveliness of our Savior. And the love and grace that He's shown toward us. That will occupy our thoughts for all of eternity. Because it's worthy. The other thing I did mention, our names are recorded in heaven. That means we have a title deed to the property. That's where our property is, in heaven. We have the deed. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that Christ gets a little and we get a little, or Christ gets a lot and we get a little bit that's left over. We get everything He has. That is enough to blow your mind. It's a good thing we don't grasp that. I've mentioned this before. I have a hard time memorizing things, but there was one quote of Martin Luther's that just fascinated me. He said that if we were to fully understand a grain of wheat, we would die of wonder. What's it going to be like when we get to heaven? We couldn't contain it now. Our inheritance is in heaven. Like I said, we are going to be co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We're going to be heir to everything that He has. Oops. I'm not going to go and read all of them, but in Philippians 3:20, we see about our citizenship in heaven. Matthew 6:19-21, our treasure is in heaven. Let me see if I did mark these down, because they're probably, again, this is I kind of buzzed through this. I didn't really buzz through it. No, I don't have a mark. So we're not going to. I'll be spending all night here flipping back and forth. And in Ephesians 6:9, our master is there. It's just basically the same, different ways of saying the same thing I just said. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our treasure is in heaven. Our master is in heaven. Heaven is a place. Heaven is our home. Think of that. We are sojourners and travelers here in this world. The things that fascinate us the most are going to burn. And I told you, I'm fascinated by so many things. At some point in time, they're going to burn. And if that's a long time in the future, I'm going to leave first. I won't be here to enjoy it. I'll be enjoying things in heaven. Heaven is our home. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We'll read from chapter 4, 6 to 5, 8. Second Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 6. There's a fair amount of reading here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our inward man perish, yet the inward man renewed day by day. The inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Stop right there for a second and grasp what he is saying. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down and not destroyed. And then knowing that he which raised up the Lord shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That might sound a little, reading it twice might sound a little redundant, but it's something to think about. While we look not at the things which are seen, but that the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are which are not seen are eternal. That, what a paradox. I can look at this chair over here, or this pulpit. This is not the real reality. I can see this. Oh, it's real. But the real reality is what I don't see. That's right. It is. It's what I don't see. What a paradox. The world tells us the only thing you need to worry about is what you can see. I had one of the teachers at the school say, if you can't see it, I don't believe it. Okay. Well, do you see how radio waves fly through the air and present a picture on the boob tube? Then you don't believe it happens? Come on. But this isn't the ultimate reality, because this will perish. Our mortal bodies will perish. Our souls will not. That is the real us. The real Jim is not what you see standing in front of you, thank goodness. But is that which resides right now in this body, whose home is heaven. Our pastor is not what resides in that body. It's whose home is in heaven. And there will be a time when we will experience the real reality, the real reality. How can I say the real reality? Anyway, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Am I going further than I said I would? No, not yet. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. It is for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the real reality. That is the reality we're going to experience when we get into heaven. Some of us are a lot closer to that than others. Some of us are blessed more. I think. I would look at it that way. Because I guess eternity is eternity. It's the absence of time, which is something I can't grasp. I'm a fanatic about time. You'll notice I almost always wear a watch. Always looking at a clock. Time is... I'm always cognizant of time. But there's going to be that time when time will be no more. Okay, now, heaven in the Old Testament means the heights. I don't remember what the Hebrew word, I didn't have time to get into it too much. But in the Old Testament, heaven meant the heights. In the New Testament, it means that which is raised up. So heaven would be the heights and that which is raised up, the heights which are raised up. And heaven is up. What's up? I don't know. Heaven is. Because it always talks about coming down from heaven or prayers ascending to the throne and all this kind of thing. And I'm filling in a lot here as I go along. But according to Scripture, I mentioned this a little bit ago, there are three heavens. And if we look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. You can turn there if you want. You don't have to. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, this is Paul speaking. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Now, just logically, you would understand if there's a third heaven, there has to be a first and a second. The first heaven would be defined as the atmospheric heaven. The atmosphere or troposphere. Isaiah 55 talks about that a little bit. And you can turn there if you want. If not, I'll just read it. Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 10. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Rain and snow come down from heaven. The first heaven. That which is the atmosphere. We know where rain and snow come from. If we go to Psalm 147, 7 and 8, I'll just read it here. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who hath covered the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass grow, grass to grow upon the mountains, covereth the heaven with clouds. We're talking about the atmosphere here. This is the first heaven. This is Scripture. And again, I just want to get the idea across that if there's a third heaven, there's also a first and second. The second heaven would be the area where planets and stars make their abode. If we go to Genesis chapter 1, 14 and 15, Genesis should be fairly easy to find. I have it marked anyhow. Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Where do the lights come? That would be from that area that would be above our atmosphere. We call it space, but it is where the planets and stars are. He's talking, that's where the lights come from. Now, Scripture also talks about a third heaven, and this is where this should really excite us. The divine heaven. The abode of God. This is the third heaven. 1 Kings 8:27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? This is Solomon speaking. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. And as we mentioned earlier, and Rick mentioned this morning, that heaven is a place. It is a place. It is not a concept. It is not that which your mind goes to for one reason or another. And you've heard of people being so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. That's not heaven. Isaiah 57:14. For thus saith the high and lofty one, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I dwell in the high and holy place. Talking about God, he says it's a place. Isaiah 18:4. For so the Lord saith unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider... Let me go here. It's trouble with things that change pages. And I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heart heat upon the herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of the harvest. Now, it's a little difficult to follow. At least it was for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one. But I looked it up in the New American Standard, which is my about the only ever one, only other one I ever really go to a lot. For thus the Lord has told me, I will look from my dwelling place quietly, like dazzling heat in the sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. Anyway, I will look from my dwelling place. It's a place. God dwells in a place. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the only place you find him, but it's a place. Isaiah 63:15. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy holiness and of thy glory. I misspelled some things here. Habitation of thy holiness and of thy holiness and thy of thy glory. Anyway. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Okay. Look down from heaven. Looking down from a place. Heaven. In Psalm 33:13-14, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. From the place of his habitation. Now, I was just getting warmed up with some of the scriptures here. I'm going to go buzzing through a bunch of them here pretty quick. And I didn't get the time to write or to mark the references here. So just bear with me for a minute. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's where God is, in heaven. In verse 34, we find, But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, and so on. Okay. And this we see here that Christ is making a point that heaven is a place and God dwells in heaven. He makes the point very succinctly here. In verse 45 of Matthew chapter 5, we find that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Father, which is in heaven. 6:1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. In verse 9 of chapter 6, if I have this right. Yes, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And in chapter 7, verse 11. We have, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Let's go to 7:11. Oh, that was 11. 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now we see here that in a negative way, we're seeing that there is a heaven and that the people who do the will of God will be in heaven. Because if you don't do the will of God, you're not going to be there. So the implication is that if you do the will of God, you will be there. Okay? So it's a place. And again, I hope I'm not being too tedious here. I probably am to a point, but I want to drive this through. That heaven is a place and that God dwells in heaven. That's not saying he's not right here with us right now, but that's his, I would say, basis of operation. I don't know how scriptural that would be. But anyway, in Matthew 10, verse 32, we find, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Boy, isn't that a mouthful? If we confess him before men here, Jesus will confess us before his Father in heaven. Wow. It's just dawned on me. I went through these scriptures and wrote them down. You know, kind of buzzed through them kind of quick. But that is incredible. Chapter 12, verse 50. We find, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Father which is in heaven. 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus' Father, who is our Father too, who is in heaven, can reveal things on the earth. 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to start speaking in tongues here. 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Verse 19, Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they speak, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And I'm going to stop at verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of your brothers their trespasses. Shall my heavenly Father, he resides in heaven. And I have here also in John, I can go through a bunch of them. I'll just read the verses out to you. I'm not going to read the contents, but I'll just read it. It's John 6:33, 6:38, 6:41, 6:42, 6:50, 6:51, and 6:58. Talks about our Father in heaven and Jesus in heaven. Heaven is a real place. That is the abode of the saints who went on before us. That is to be our abode in heaven with the Father and the Son and the fellowship of those who went on before us, and the heavenly beings, the angels, seraphim, cherubim, who knows what else? I don't know. I just kind of tend to think, and this is just Jim, okay? I'm not going to say this is scriptural. But God made so many marvelous creatures here on the earth. We don't even know to this date what really resides at the depths of the ocean or in some of the rainforests and jungles. They're always discovering something new. With a God of such diversity, the marvels of heaven are going to occupy us, are going to be a wonder for all eternity. And those marvels will direct us back to our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I hope I haven't been too tedious with this, but I did want to nail the coffin closed on this, that some people think heaven is not a place, it's a state of mind. It's a place. And our Father dwells there. I could say it 1,000 more times and it wouldn't be enough. It might be enough for you, but... Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for Your Word. Your Word is so precious. And the thought of our, what from now would be our future dwelling in heaven, in Your presence, where we will see You face to face, who created all that is, who created the first, the second, and the third heavens. It also talks about the earth being Your footstool. Father, we are Your children. We are Your love gift to Jesus Christ. Lord, please help us to act like that. We do such a poor job. Lord, we would ask that You'd be with us throughout the week, that You would comfort us with the truths that we've learned tonight, that heaven is a place. A place that we, if we are believers, are going. And it won't be taken away from us. We can't not go, Father, because You will not let go of us. When we are not faithful, You are faithful. Your promises are not anything but truth. And Lord, we look at things where a lot of times we say, well, you can take that to the bank. The bank is such an insignificant place compared to Your dwelling place, Your heaven, where all is truth and light. Father, when You say we are going there, we are going there. It is as certain as heaven itself. We thank You. We stand amazed at Your love. Again, Lord, be with us through the week. Bring us back safely next week. Help us to confess Your name before men on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if we can turn to hymn number 492, Take My Life and Let It Be.
I like that song.
Have you sing it every time I get a chance? Okay, anyone have any questions or comments?